for the quiet. All right. Well, let's get going. All right. First step, we're going to Turkey. Drought. Istanbul could run out of water in 45 days. Major cities across Turkey face running out of water in the next few months, with warnings Istanbul has less than 45 days of water left. Poor rainfall has led to the country's most severe drought in a decade and put the megacity of 17 million people close to running out of water, according to Turkey's chamber. Ooh, did you hear that? That was my hands cracking. Putting the megacity of 17 million people close to running out of water, according to Turkey's Chamber of Chemical Engineers. The Ankara mayor, Mansur Yavaş, said earlier this month the capital had another 110 days worth in dams and reservoirs. Izmir and Bursa, Turkey's next two biggest cities, are also struggling with dams that are about 36 and 24% full, respectively. And farmers in wheat-producing areas such as the Konya Plain and Edirne province on the border with Greece and Bulgaria are warning of crop failure. The critically low level of rainfall in the second half of 2020, approaching 50% year-on-year for November, led the Religious Affairs Directorate to instruct imams and their congregation to pray for rain last month. Turkey's a water-stressed country. Just 1,346 cubic meters of water per capita per year, and has faced several droughts since the 1980s due to a combination of population growth, industrialization, urban sprawl, and climate change. So we'll see how that plays out. We've had scares like that here in Austin, Texas, when we were having bad droughts. It seems like, hopefully, we'll keep fingers crossed for Turkey. Bullets and panic. Rebels attack Central African Republic capital. Remember this story? There was a ceasefire that they did to allow the elections to run. Well, I mean, they're still mad. They just let elections run. So, it's still going on. Rebels in Central African Republic attacked the capital early on Wednesday, but were repelled by President Faustin Archange Touadéra's security forces and the United Nations Peacekeepers Authority said in an escalation of an election conflict. Helped by newly arrived troops from Russia and Rwanda, the CAR Army, CAR, Central African Republic, Army, has been battling groups seeking to overturn a December 27th vote in which Touadéra was declared victor despite fraud claims. The attackers, who came in large numbers to take Bangui, have been vigorously pushed back, Prime Minister Firmin Ingrebetabata said in a post on Facebook. A Reuters witness heard explosions and later saw helicopters circling after the rebels attacked on various outskirts, including the north of the city. In one place, the body of a man in rebel fatigues lay in a garden, while streets were scattered with bullet casings. The United Nations 10,000-strong peacekeeping mission said one of their soldiers was also killed. However, the city appeared calm after 800 GMT, with security forces patrolling and manning checkpoints. So, hopefully things can calm down there. I was hoping it would calm down after the election, but, I mean, what do I know? I'm going to have to sleep a lot. I'm going to just have to take a sleeping pill or something. Alright, anyway, let's go ahead and keep on rolling. And in Africa still, there are some new attacks in western Ethiopia. We've received information that over 80 civilians were killed in January 12th in an area called Deledi in Ethiopia's Benishangul-Gumuz region. Aaron Masho, an advisor and spokesman for the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission, told AFP, or France 24. Sorry, it was taking a long time to connect. Hey, the topic for non-radio has been set to a cool ASCII art. Hell yeah. The point here, or the thing here, is there's no known link between the violence and military operations in Ethiopia's northernmost Tigray region, where Abiy sent in troops in November to detain and disarm leaders of the dissident regional ruling party. Tuesday's attack in Metekel occurred between 5 and 7 a.m., with victims ranging in age from 2 to 45. The EHRC, a government-affiliated but independent body, is still chasing further details about the perpetrators and how the victims were killed. Big shout-out to Publius Incom and X1. Hello, hello, welcome. We also got cool cat Jazzmaz in there, and Tobe, Ratsu, and Exile. Everybody, the whole crew is hanging out. I got a story I think you might like later, Publius, so I'll be there in just a minute. Let's finish up our world news, fire up the blender a little more, wake me up. World news. All right, here we go. Interpol's issued red notices for the captain and owner of the ship that carried the chemicals which devastated Beirut in an explosion in August, killing 200 people. 5 months since one of the biggest non-nuclear blasts on record, big questions remain about the ammonium nitrate that detonated after being stored at the port for years. The Interpol notices, which are not international arrest warrants, ask authorities worldwide to provisionally detain people pending possible extradition or other legal actions. Interpol issues them at the request of a member country. State news agency NNA, November Alpha, said on Tuesday that Interpol also issued a notice for a Portuguese trader who examined the cargo at Beirut Airport in 2014 without giving a name or further details. So pretty scary stuff. So, yeah. Golly. Yep. I'm dangerously low. The rest of my day is going to be interesting. I have multiple meetings and, yeah, I might just fall asleep while talking on them. That'll be great. Maybe my manager will give me some time off. All right, Mexico City. Mexico's president will seek better terms for the government in private prison contracts signed by his predecessors, he said on Wednesday, adding that he could cancel them if the better deals cannot be reached. The private prison contracts were much too expensive and represented the worst of privatization, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said at a regular government news conference. We need to talk to the providers of these services so that an agreement is reached because we consider the contracts to be abusive. He said a civil complaint is being drawn up to cancel the contracts if new terms are not reached. López Obrador has previously put pressure on energy and chemical companies over contracts he considered unfair. U.S. asset manager BlackRock is among the investors that have been involved in prisons in Mexico. During the government of López Obrador's predecessor, President Enrique Peña Nieto, payments for the Ramos Arizpe prison in the northern border state of Coahuila jumped by nearly 18% just before BlackRock purchased it, according to records reviewed by Reuters in 2017. BlackRock at the time declined to comment. The asset manager did not immediately respond to a request for comment for the article. So, we'll see what happens here. I think private prisons are a bad idea in general, but hey. I always think it's interesting what happens in Mexico. Anyway, world news is really interesting to me. All right. Oh, golly. Ukraine says it will hold to account those accused of meddling in U.S. election. The Ukraine will do everything in its power to hold to account those accused of meddling in elections in the United States. Andriy Yermak, the head of President Volodymyr Zelensky's office, wrote on Twitter on Wednesday. The United States on Monday imposed sanctions on several Ukrainian individuals and entities, accusing them of U.S. election interference and associating with a pro-Russian Ukrainian lawmaker linked to efforts by President Donald Trump's allies to dig up dirt. For the sake of clarity, regardless of party affiliation, this administration will do everything in its power to hold those responsible for meddling in U.S. elections, Yermak said. So, see how that works out. Yeah. it's pretty. Anyway, the U.S. is not the good guy, and so it's a bit weird. Oh, and just to give a little more context, Publius, or yeah, I remember this story, but Publius is reminding Calm too that the ship was full of fertilizer for Beirut. The ship was full of fertilizer, but they couldn't pay the toll to get through the canal. So then they went to a port, but they had a bad debt at that port, so they lost their boat. And yeah, and so that's how the boat got stuck there. And then the boat owner and the captain, nobody wanted to pay to get it out of seizure, you know. And there we go. That's what happens. So yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Oh, so here's the story I thought was cool that you might like. It wasn't a huge story, but the students were evacuated to a football field as hazmat teams rushed to the scene. The local prosecutor was alerted, as were the police. Responders entered the building and went room by room. What calamity beset Haddon Township High School in New Jersey's Hampden County last week? A bomb threat? Anthrax? A gas leak? Worse, dinnerware. Specifically, Fiestaware, the colorful plates that took the U.S. by storm during the Great Depression. A sophomore had brought a quarter-sized piece to his science class because some of the plates were originally glazed with a red color that contained uranium oxide, at least until our war effort required a uranium for the atomic bomb, at which point the government confiscated them. The student had received a Geiger counter for Christmas and was going to do a little experiment in class. That was on January 4th. His teacher thanked him for bringing in the sample. By January 8th, someone had determined the plate was a biohazard. At 11:15 a.m., the Cherry Hill Courier-Post first reported. The students were evacuated. The sophomore, whose name was not disclosed, wasn't one of them because due to COVID-19 protocols, he attends school only in person on Mondays and Thursdays. But he didn't go unnoticed. By 2 p.m., there were six vehicles, lights flashing in front of his home, including one from the Hampden County Prosecutor's Office. The teen emerged to explain that the whole response was a dramatic over-exaggeration. I gave them a quarter-sized piece of a plate that was enclosed in plastic so it couldn't be tampered with that gave off less radiation than most things you can find in an antique store. It was intended to be used as a source for calibrating Geiger counters. Instead, it became a source for calibrating school board overreactivity. While the evacuated kids were allowed back into school after half an hour, school board released a notice that the student had brought a potentially dangerous substance into the school. If I were a mom there, I'd assume the teen had brought in a vial of ricin, not a chip off of the most collected dinnerware in America. No less dramatically, Haddon Township Superintendent Robert Fisicario issued a statement announcing no injuries were reported. The prosecutor nonetheless asked the public to contact the police if you have any information that could help with the investigation. So, the whole incident calls to mind the evacuation of Totino Grace High School in Fridley, Minnesota, several years back because of a chemical spill. In that case, a student had broken a thermometer. So, yeah. It's very funny. Hi, Handy C. I figured you might get a kick out of that, Publius. It's like, it's very funny. It's like, this is stuff that you can still eat off of. Yeah. Good times. Well, we got, it's time for tech news and U.S. news, but, do I have a... Ugh, sorry. Oh, that's not who I thought it was. Oh, hold on. Let me see if this sounds the way I think it does. No, that's... you know what? No, that's too long. We don't need a 5-minute synthesizer song. let's just go ahead. We'll just power through. We're going to power through.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Sorry. Sorry. We gotta do the tech news first, voice in my head. Oh yeah, I remember that too, when the kid brought a clock that he built from a kit, I think is what it was. So it had wires in it. And if you have any wires attached to a battery, it's a bomb. Just like if you use a computer in a way that someone's unfamiliar with, you're hacking. Alright, here we go. First up, TikTok's going to tackle grooming with safeguards for young users. Children of TikTok will face groundbreaking new restrictions in an attempt to prevent grooming on the platform, the video sharing company has announced, with particularly strict new rules for users under 16. The platform has a lower age limit of 13, said users under 16 would no longer be able to receive comments from strangers, have their videos used for duets, or mark their posts as available to be downloaded. That's going to be very interesting. The company is also changing the default settings across the app for users under 18. Unless they actively change the settings, 16 and 17-year-olds will also have their videos made unavailable for download, and only friends will be able to record duets. And for every user under 18, their TikTok account will default to private, which prevents anyone other than friends from viewing their videos. The groundbreaking changes announced today mark the next step in our mission to ensure TikTok's a safe platform for all users, said Alexandra Evans, TikTok's European head of child safety. They build on previous changes we've made to promote minor safety, including restricting direct messaging and hosting live streams to users age 16 and over, and enabling parents and caregivers to set guardrails for their teen's TikTok account through our family pairing feature. We know there is no finish line when it comes to minor safety, and this is why we're continuously evolving our policies. Let's see. The app will affect tens of millions of TikTok's young user base and suggests the company is comfortable with the fact that restricting some of its most popular features will not cause teens to desert the app. Duets in particular have become a core feature of TikTok in recent months. The feature allows users to record videos of themselves alongside another user's post, as well as creating YouTube-style reaction videos and two-handed comedy skits. Features led to the creation... led to the creation of organically produced musical hits. In October, one post of a hypothetical song from a musical version of the Pixar film Ratatouille became, through the duet feature, a full-blown Broadway-style musical that was eventually filmed and aired by Disney.
Sorry
about that. I don't think there's an alternative to TikTok per se. PixelFed has still pictures, and what's it called? PeerTube does videos, but there's not one for short form videos. I'm on TikTok way too much at night. Whenever I'm trying to go to not even when I'm trying to go to sleep. Usually in the morning when I wake up. But anyway, I watch lots of videos on this app. And one of the things I will tell you is that there are lots of people who are old. Old, you know, like 30s and 40s or even late 20s who get identified by the automatic system as being a minor. And their account being taken down. So, I think this will be interesting to see what happens. But who knows? Now, another thing you may not be aware of, or maybe you are, and this comes from Al Jazeera. Why are WhatsApp users joining rival platforms? Well, WhatsApp is a Facebook-owned messaging service that has more than 2 billion users, and it recently announced controversial changes to its privacy terms, prompting a mass exodus of users to rival platforms, particularly Telegram and Signal. Users outside Europe who do not accept the new conditions before February 8th will be cut off from the messaging app. WhatsApp says the changes will help it better integrate with Facebook, but technology experts and privacy advocates have raised concerns about data safety. Here are four things to know about the issue. According to the new terms, WhatsApp reserves the right to share user data, including location and phone number, with Facebook and other apps owned by the social network. Instagram, and Messenger. The data sharing app was optional until data sharing was optional until now, but after February 8th, it's mandatory. Tech experts say the move is aimed at monetizing WhatsApp. So why is it causing flight of users? Many users are wary of the move, as Facebook has a poor track record in handling user data. Some privacy activists called on WhatsApp users on Twitter to switch to apps like Signal and Telegram, questioning the accept or data grab or get out move. Pavel Durov, the Russian-born founder of Telegram, said people no longer want to exchange their privacy for free services. So what is WhatsApp doing about it? The company tried to reassure users by saying in a blog post that WhatsApp can't see private messages or hear their calls. We don't keep logs of who everyone is messaging or calling. We can't see your shared location, and neither can Facebook. I strongly doubt this. Hey, Zeptar, welcome. Location data, along with message contents, is encrypted end-to-end. But other metadata, such as call records, location, financial information, etc., may be shared if you're using WhatsApp. We're giving businesses the option to use secure hosting services from Facebook to manage WhatsApp chats with their customers, answer questions, and send helpful information like purchase receipts. Whether you communicate with a business by phone, email, or WhatsApp, it can see what you're saying and may use that information for its own marketing purposes. So, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, so anyway, that's going on there. It's time for U.S. news. Our empire is on fire, but don't worry, we still have time to kill our citizens the good old-fashioned way. The U.S. Supreme Court went ahead and cleared the way for the Justice Department to carry out the first execution of a female death row inmate in almost 70 years. The ruling, handed down just after midnight on Wednesday, allowed the Federal Bureau of Prisons to proceed with the execution of Lisa Montgomery. The court lifted an injunction that had been put in place by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals that had temporarily halted the execution. It came hours after the Supreme Court also lifted a separate injunction by the U.S. Circuit of Appeals for the District of Columbia. She's scheduled to be put to death at the federal prison complex in Terre Haute. Her lawyers have argued she's not mentally competent. They say she suffered from years of physical and emotional abuse and is severely mentally ill. Yeah, so, yeah, pretty wild here. So anyway, yeah, yesterday we reported that she'd gotten that stay, so she got a whole extra day. Ooh, batteries. I thought this was kind of a borderland between tech and regular news. Electric vehicle fires pose safety risk to first responders, and guidelines from manufacturers about how to deal with them have been inadequate, according to U.S. investigators. There are also gaps in industry safety standards and research on high-voltage lithium-ion battery fires, especially in high-speed severe crashes. The agency, which has no enforcement powers and can only make recommendations, called for manufacturers to write vehicle-specific response guides for fighting battery fires and limiting chemical thermal runaway and reignition. The guidelines also should include information on how to safely store vehicles with damaged lithium-ion batteries. The recommendations come at a time when automakers are rolling out multiple new electric vehicle models, with many in the industry perceiving an inflection point in switching from gasoline power to cleaner energy. Let's see. Yeah, the NTSB started investigating battery fires after crashes and fires in Lake Forest and Mountain View, California, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in 2017 and 2018. It also probed a non-crash fire in West Hollywood, California. Three of the batteries were reignited after fires were extinguished. All four vehicles were made by Tesla, which is the top-selling electric vehicle maker in the U.S. The risk of electric shock and battery reignition fire arise from the stranded energy that remains in a damaged battery. In the 2017 fire in Lake Forest, a Tesla Model X battery caught fire after the vehicle left a road and crashed into a residential garage at high speed. Hot hydrogen, oh yeah. Lithium plus water is oxidized lithium, which is oxidized lithium, really, really hot lithium, and hydrogen gas. So, that is a recipe for disaster. Howdy, howdy, Zeptar. Hap, hap. Alright. One way to deal with damaged batteries is to pull them from the vehicle and soak them in a saltwater bath to discharge the energy, the NTSB wrote. In a statement, NHTSA said that last week it started a battery safety initiative to address growing concerns about electric vehicle and structure fires ignited by batteries. Under the initiative, the agency will analyze data, investigate fires, and oversee investigation of electric vehicle crashes. So maybe we'll get some data out of that. Oh, exiles. Exiles riding on some batteries. Defiance of virus bans grows as restaurants flounder. And I could say that's totally true. We've only got about 90 seconds to go for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That's it. Every day at 1930 UTC. And then we've got great shows usually after that at 2000 hours. So stick around and you'll be sure to hear something cool. All right. So, yeah, this is from Boring, Oregon. Great name. A line formed out the door during the lunch rush at Carver Hangar, a family-owned restaurant and sports bar, and waitresses zipped in and out of the kitchen trying to keep up with orders as customers backed up in the lobby. Indoor dining's been banned in much of Oregon for nearly 2 months, but the eatery, 20 miles southeast of Portland, was doing a booming business, and an illegal one. The restaurant's owners, Brian and Liz Mitchell, fully reopened January 1st in defiance of Democratic Governor Kate Brown's COVID-19 indoor dining ban. We're not going back down because our employees still need to eat. They still need that income, said Brian Mitchell. His customers ate at tables spaced 6 feet apart. The statement that we're making is every life is essential. You have the right to survive. Nobody should tell you that you can and cannot do to provide for your family. So, yeah, it's pretty scary. We're out of time, so thanks so much for tuning in. I'm sorry I'm so tired. I'm very pooped. So I'm going to go to bed early and hopefully can recover. Enjoy the Tobe. It's a lot of fun. It's a great show.